This chazar zechin is b'chetz kashag. Remember, Yehuda misach tivam is daf kufchof. Remember, it says Rava asks, why does Rabbi Elazar hold that the woman can rely on the testimony of her co-wife? Is it because he holds that a co-wife's testimony is believed, that tzara is believed, or is it because that tzara herself remarried, and it's only in that case that the tzara is believed? The difference between these reasons would be whether the woman can get remarried before the tzara herself gets remarried. Remember, it says our Mishnah gives the case where the woman remarried, and it's in that case Rabbi Elazar says she can rely on the testimony of the tzara. Since the case is where she herself had already remarried, we see that the reason that she's allowed to get remarried is because we no longer have to be concerned that she's saying false testimony anymore because she herself relied on it. Mar says, no, right. It could be that Rabbi Elazar is saying to the Rabbanan, according to me, the testimony of a tzara is allowed to be relied on all the time. But even according to you, you should agree that if she herself had gotten married, we should allow the other wife to get married based on her testimony because she herself got married based on it. The Rabbanan respond, even if she was, it could be that she was lying. And that she herself became married through that. Yes, she is willing to make herself usher just to cause her, because she hates her tzara so much, to cause her tzara, the tzara of becoming usher as well. It's like Thomas Nafshi in Polishtim. Mar says we can bring a proof from a brayse that says if a woman says that her husband has died, she may remarry and collect a ksuba, but her tzara remains usher. Rabbi Elazar says since the woman herself remains mutter, becomes mutter, the tzara becomes mutter as well. We see Rabbi Elazar says the co-wife becomes mutter as soon as the first wife becomes mutter. Mar says maybe the brayse means that Rabbi Elazar says she becomes mutter once the other woman becomes mutter and marries. Lav dafka is just on the heter. It could be she actually has to get married before the first wife becomes mutter. Why should we believe it's Sarah just because she got married? Maybe what happened was that she really got a get, she got a divorce, and that's why she got remarried. And she's giving the testimony, a false testimony, only to mess up her Sarah. Remember, I said the case is where she got remarried to a Kohen, so it has to be that she was only a widow and not a divorcee. Zakh the Mishnah, we don't accept testimony regarding a dead person unless the witness saw his face and his nose. This is so even if the witness saw identifying marks on his body or his clothing. Next, Zakh the Mishnah, we don't accept testimony unless they actually saw him dead. Even if they saw a man suffering from a mortal wound or hanging at the gallows or being eaten by an animal, they can only testify once they actually see him actually dead. Zakh the Mishnah, we only accept testimony regarding a man's death up to 3 days from the time of death. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says, not all men, not all places, not all times are alike and may therefore be treated differently. Zakh the Gemara Brice says, seeing the face without the forehead or the forehead without the face is not enough to testify. In order to testify, you have to see the face, the forehead, along with the nose. Abaye or Rav Kahana learned from a pasuk that seeing the face is essential for recognition and the rest of the body is not sufficient. Abba Bar Marso was able to disguise himself from his creditors by placing wax on his forehead. You see how important it is to see the forehead in order to recognize someone. The Mishnah said, "Afal pishiyei simanim v'chulu." In fact, the Mishnah seems to suggest that simanim are not acceptable for testimony de araisa. However, Braisa says that a get may be identified when the kalim it is in or is with has a simon. So Abaye said, "Our Mishnah follows the view of the Rabbanan, and the Braisa follows the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Mahavoy of a Braisa." That Braisa said, "The Rabbanan say that a mole may not be used as a form of identification for a dead person. Rabbi Elazar ben Mahavoy says that it may be used." We see that they argue whether simanim are acceptable de araisa. Rabbi said it may be that all agree a simon is sufficient de araisa. They may be arguing about whether a particular mole is something that is common by people born during the same mazel. Rabbanan say that it is, and therefore it's not unique and can't be used to recognize a person. And Rabbi Elazar ben Mahavoy says that it's not found by people of the same mazel, and therefore it is unique to that person. It could be relied upon. Others say that Rava said the machlokes is whether a mole has a tendency to change in appearance after death. The Rabbanan say that it does, and therefore can't be relied upon to identify that person. Rabbi Eliezer says that it does not change, and therefore it could be used. Others say that Rava said all hold that typical simonim are only sufficient to Rabbanan. The machlokes is whether a mole is so unique that it gets a special status, like a simon muvuk, and may even be used deraisa. In fact, how could the first version of Rava say that all agree that simonim may be used deraisa? Our Mishnah says that a simon on the kalim is not sufficient. Where it says the Mishnah disallows common simonim on the person's body, whether the person was tall or short, and all simonim on kalim, because we're concerned that the person borrows someone else's clothing or kalim. But others, but the special simonim may be even good deraisa. In fact, if we're concerned for borrowed kalim, how do we return a donkey based on the simon of the saddle? Where it says that's because people don't borrow a donkey saddle because the wrong fitting saddle can actually injure the donkey. In fact, how do we return a get based on a simon of the money bag, wallet, or ring that it was tied to? Mar says, because people don't lend out these items either, so you know for sure it must have belonged to the person. And with Mar says, in other tarets, it may also be that the only time a simon or an akeli is no good is when it's a very general simon, like the color or something like that, but when it's a more particular simon, it could be that it is good. The Mishnah said, "Afilu ru'u meguyad v'chulu." Mar says, affecting Mar, this Mishnah seems to say that a person with a mortal wound can live. However, a Mishnah says that a person with a mortal wound does not yet give off tumma as a mace, which suggests that although there is no tumma, he cannot live. Abaye said our Mishnah follows Rosh Shimon Elazar, who says in a braisa that even a mortal wound can be healed, and the other Mishnah follows the Rabbanan. In fact, more, the next Mishnah, which is a continuation of this Mishnah, says that if they find the leg of the husband and the leg was cut off above the knee, the wife may remarry because the husband can't survive such a wound. Now, according to Rosh Shimon Elazar, even this wound could be healed field. So how can we permit the woman to remarry based on this? Mar says, the mission is discussing where the leg was found at sea. Such a wound cannot heal in water. In fact, we're told that Rabbi Rechana said that he saw a camel die instantly from a mortal wound, which suggests that it's impossible for this wound of a wound of this type to be healed. Abaye said that the camel was a weak camel, and therefore it's no raya to a regular case. Rava said our mission is discussing where the person was wounded with a knife, which was red hot, which besides making the wound, also act to heal the wound, to quarter, to, like quarter, quarter, no, what is it called, where you seal it with the heat. That's why the mission suggests it's possible to live, because even in that case, the Rabbanim would agree that such a person can live. The mission said, V'achaya yicheles v'chul, Rabbi Yehuda name Shmuel said, this is only if the animal was seen eating a limb on which life does not depend. However, if it was seen eating a limb on that life depends on, we would consider him dead. Rabbi Yehuda name Shmuel said, if a person had his esophagus and trachea fully cut, or a majority of each cut, and then he ran away, we can assume that he is dead, and his wife may remarry. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda name Shmuel once said that if someone was so injured and then motioned for a get to be written and given to his wife, if we do so, clearly this means he's not considered to be dead. The Mar says he's considered alive at that moment, but we are certain that he will eventually die pretty quickly. A Braisa says that if someone accidentally injured another in this way, he does not need to go into Gullus. It's not considered as if he killed him. So you see, he's not considered dead. Rabbi Shai explained that we say that it may have been the wind that caused this person to die sooner, and that's why this person is not considered to have killed him. Or maybe the victim himself may have accelerated his death through his excessive movements, and that's why the killer doesn't have to go to Gullus. The difference between the two reasons would be where this happened in a marble house where there's no wind, but the victim was moving, then it's based on the victim. Another difference would be where this happened outdoors, but the victim did not move at all. So again, if the problem is the wind, so there's a problem. If the problem is the victim moving, here the victim didn't move, so it's clearly not based on the victim's movements.